I want you to look in your Bibles with me and let's go to Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Hebrews chapter 11. This is a great faith chapter in the Bible. God teaches us about faith in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. Also, the Lord teaches us about faith in the 11th chapter of Mark. And so we begin to find certain things. In the 10th chapter of Romans, Paul also teaches us about faith. You'll find out throughout the Scriptures, there's always an element of faith. If there's not an entire chapter, there's always an element of faith that's being taught throughout the Scriptures. And the reason being is in verse 6 here of Hebrews 11, he says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." So God demands of us a faith, amen? And so then God gives us the ability to get faith. In fact, in Romans 12:3, the Bible says that God deals to each and every one of us a measure of the God kind of faith. So God gives us faith. He wouldn't demand something of us and not give it to us, amen? And so we know that faith comes to us as we hear the Word of God, as we let God speak into us. It begins to open our eyes and our hearts up to the things of God. And faith is really a trust in God. It's putting your trust in it. It's trusting God with that situation. So you can say it like this: without learning how to trust God in that situation, it's impossible to please Him. That's pretty true, isn't it? Amen? I mean, you know, it's kind of hard for you to work with somebody if you don't trust them. Amen. It's hard to please somebody and get along if you don't really trust that they're going to do what they said they would do. And so that's why he's saying here, it's really an impossible task for you and me to work with God if we don't come into a place of faith and trust with God. And so God is calling us to do that. But now notice something else here about that faith. He says, "For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." So he's saying here, there's no reason even to come to God if you don't believe He is. Amen? I mean, you know, there's no reason to take your situation to God if you don't have faith in God and believe God will hear you and do something about it. Amen? So a lot of people are just coming to God and hoping something happens. But here, the writer of Hebrews is telling us by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, number one, you're going to have trust in God that when you come to Him with your situation, that you believe God is able to take care of that for you. And you're going to expect to get something. Amen? In other words, if I'm coming to God, I'm going to expect to get something from God. There's no use coming to the altar hoping to get saved. Amen. If a sinner just comes to the altar hoping they'll get salvation from the Lord, they'll leave without salvation because hope won't get you anything. But you've got to come to God and come to that altar with expectations and a trust that if I confess Jesus as my Lord and receive Him in my heart, I'll receive salvation from God because He is the God that saves. Amen. I believe that about Him. So therefore, I come to Him and believe I receive. Now, notice something else here with this 11th chapter and 6th verse. Notice that you're coming to God and your faith is initiating the action from God to you. Notice that it's not God initiating the action here. It is you initiating the action with your faith. See, you and I have to discern between when God initiates the action and when we have to initiate the action. Amen? A lot of people are waiting on God to do something, but God gave us faith so that we could initiate action from Him and receive from Him without Him having to come up and nudge us and say, "Oh, by the way, I'd like to do this for you." Amen? And there are times in the Bible, and see, a lot of people miss it because they think, well, if God wants to do something, He'll just do it. But He doesn't. You know, there are times in the Bible, in fact, you look at the life of the Lord Jesus. He goes to the pool there in John's gospel, and there are five porches of people sitting around, and He talks to one guy, initiates a healing, and gets one man healed. He initiated that. The guy didn't do anything except cooperate with Him. Amen? Jesus initiated the healing there. It all started with God. The 9th chapter of John, you find a blind man, and Jesus, you know, puts clay in his eyes and tells him to go wash. He initiates it. All the guy does is cooperate. That guy wasn't seeking his healing. Jesus initiated the healing. Amen. In fact, the guy that was there at the pool, he'd been there for a long time. He wasn't expecting anything to happen. Amen. But you see, here's the thing. Those are spectacular events where God initiates the miracle. But a lot of people, the reason we're being defeated is this. We're waiting on something spectacular and missing out on the supernatural. Because faith is just as supernatural as if God manifesting in a glory cloud. Amen? Because faith will get you the answer. So there are times that God will initiate a situation and it'll come from God to you. But most of the time, the action is initiated from you to God. Did anybody ever read from the lips of the Lord Jesus, "Seek and ye shall find"? Amen. Ask and it shall be given. Knock and it'll be opened. Amen. In other words, who's taking the responsibility to initiate the action? The person seeking, asking, and knocking. Amen. And who's the one responding to that? God is responding to that. Amen. So here, the writer of Hebrews is saying that with faith, you initiate the action from God to you. God is there in heaven, and you come to God with your faith, and you believe that God will answer your faith and receive from God what He said He would do for you. Amen? Now, here again, faith comes to us by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So I cannot initiate something from God until I get the Word on it. Did you hear me? I can't just go to God with any kind of flimsy whatever and say, "Okay, God, I'm believing you for this." Well, if you don't have any word to stand on, you don't have any faith. Because all faith is built on the Word of God. Amen? So before I even approach God, guess what I have to do? I have to build my faith. I have to have faith. And for me to have faith, I have to know what God says about it. Amen? Come on, amen. That's true. You cannot have faith in something if you don't know that's God's will for that. Faith begins where the will of God is known. So therefore, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And without hearing the Word, it's impossible to have faith. Amen? So, before I ever try to initiate anything in my life, in a situation, whether it's sickness, whether it's need, financial needs, whether it's relationship, whatever it is, before I begin to try to initiate a breakthrough or a blessing or a healing or whatever from God, guess what I need to do? I need to go to the Word and hear what the Word says and find out what God's will is in that situation. Amen? Listen, if you know me and you know that my word is good and I say and I speak to you, I want you to go do this and this and I'll take care of it. Okay? Now here's the thing. You've got my word on it and you trust my integrity to back my word and do what I said I would do. I'm good, I'm as good as my word. My word's as good as me. In other words, if I say it, I'm going to do it, right? So if you know that about me and you have my word on it, you can come to me and you can say, "Now, Pastor, you said that I should go do this. Can I go do that now and get it done?" And I go, "Yes." You know what? This is the thing. You haven't tried to force me into something I don't want to do for you. You're just activating something I told you I would do for you. Amen? So when I get into the Word of God and I actually hear it, I just don't look at it, but I actually hear God speaking that to me, I'm actually receiving from God His will in that situation. And now what God wants me to do is take that and turn it into faith in my life. And then whenever I have faith and I believe it, I come to God and say, "Now, Father, you said this. Is it okay if I activate this in my life now and receive it?" Amen. And you know what God's always going to say? Yes and amen. Why? Because Paul told us to the Corinthians, he said what? He said, all the promises of God to us in Him are yes and amen. Hallelujah. So praise God. That gives me faith and also it helps me to trust God because I've got His word on it. But you know what? If you don't have His word on it, how can you trust Him with it? How can you really have faith that He'll do it for you if you don't know if it's His will or not? Just like with me. Somebody says, "Well, you going to go do that?" Well, I don't know if that's what Pastor wants or not. Before I step out there and do that, I better go and ask Him what He wanted to be done on that. Amen? See, you can't really act in confidence for me if you don't know what I told you was my will in that situation. Amen? You and I cannot truly act in confidence and pray in confidence and believe God with confidence if we haven't taken time to hear His word and get it in our heart and trust Him to make that word come to pass. Then we can come to God with His word in faith, believing He'll do it for us, and what? Receive the reward of that word in our life. Praise God. But notice here that I'm taking that word, I'm building my faith on it, and then I'm acting on that word and initiating the work from God to me. In other words, I'm the one that's causing the action. Amen? Did you hear me? You and I are to walk in the power of faith and live by faith and initiate the action from God to us in our daily life. Praise the Lord. And thank God there are times that we're going along and God will just come along because He's God and go, oh, be blessed today. And something great that you weren't even expecting will happen. Hallelujah. But the trouble is when God does something like that, we tend to want to get lazy and sit down and let Him do it every day for us. Huh? But in Galatians 3:11, the Bible says the just shall live by faith. He also said over in Galatians 3 that those that are of faith get blessed with faithful Abraham. Amen? In other words, if I'm going to get Abraham's blessings, I got to live the life of faith and believe God, call those things which be not as though they were, trust God and be strong in faith, give God the glory, don't be moved by what I see, and know that He's my rewarder. Amen? And how do I do that? Based upon that which God says. Hallelujah. Now, let me show you how this works. Look in Mark's Gospel, the 5th chapter. And I can show you right here with this story about the woman with issue of blood exactly how you have to put your faith to work and apply Hebrews 11:6 in your life. And we're going to read all the way down from verse 25 to verse 34. Then we'll come back and break it down and show you some things. Look what it says. Of course, we know Jesus has just came back and He's going to Jairus' house to pray for his daughter. And on the way with the crowd, the woman shows up. And so it says right here, now a certain woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years. In other words, this is a long-term situation. Amen? And look what happens. And had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. In other words, you know, she's done everything she can know to do. Doctors have done everything they know to do. And she's gotten worse. She's out of money, out of insurance, and doctors are out of help. Pretty bleak situation, isn't it? But look what happens. And she heard of Jesus. When she heard about Jesus, she came in behind Him and in the crowd and touched His garment, for she said, if I only may touch His clothes, I shall be made whole. Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in Himself that power had gone out of Him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? And His disciples said to Him, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me? And He looked up around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before Him and told Him all the truth, or the whole truth. And He said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Praise God. Amen. Now, here's some things you've got to understand. According to verses 25 and 26, and then down in verse 34, this woman went from hopeless to being blessed. Amen. Verses 25 and 26 says she had a blood condition for 12 years, had gotten as bad as you could get, doctors couldn't help her anymore, spent all of her money. I mean, that's a hopeless situation, isn't it? So she went from hopeless, evil, bad report to verse 34 saying, daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Hallelujah. So she went from hopeless to blessed. How did she get from hopeless to blessed? Her faith made her well. Hallelujah. See, you got to understand something, folks. Mark chapter 5 is an illustration of Hebrews 11:6. Jesus did not initiate her healing. She initiated her healing. Amen? She activated the power to flow from Jesus to her. Are you listening to me? She came to Jesus. She came in faith. She came believing. She came expecting to receive. And she did Hebrews 11:6 and acted it out and got what Hebrews 11:6 says. She got the reward of being healed. Hallelujah. And she did basically five things that you and I can do in any area of our life and receive breakthroughs in our life also. Praise God. The first thing is found in verse 27. She heard. Hallelujah. Notice that. When she heard about Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. What's the first thing you're going to have to do if you're going to have faith in God and believe God and activate the power of God to flow from Him into your situation and bring breakthrough into your life? You're going to have to hear about Him. Now, here's the thing. Oh, yeah, yeah. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by. No, no, no. The Bible says she heard about Jesus. In other words, she heard about Jesus over her symptoms. When you're sick, your symptoms talk to you, don't they? Huh? She heard about Jesus over the doctor's report. You get a bad report and he'll talk to you, won't it? She heard about Jesus over her friends telling her, why don't you just go home, sit down, and just rest and take it easy till you're gone. Amen? She heard. In other words, she chose to hear what Jesus was doing and hear about Jesus. She chose to hear about Him, to hear His word above all the other noise. It took effort. Amen? She had to make a quality decision. Do I hear the doctor's report? That's not good. Do I hear the report of my body? That's not good. Do I hear the report of my feelings? That's not good. Do I hear the report of my symptoms? That's not good. Or do I hear the report of the Lord? Hallelujah. Faith doesn't come by just listening. Faith comes by locking in and actually hearing about Jesus. Amen. She actually heard. It became real to her. It wasn't just something that you know she thought about or somebody else said. It became a living revelation to her because she heard it. Why? Faith comes to us when we hear the word. Psalm 119, verse 130 says, the entrance of thy words gives light. It gives understanding unto the simple. You're going to walk in darkness, doubt, fear, unbelief, anxiety, and frustration until the word brings the light of God's will into your life. And you have to let it enter in. Notice it doesn't say the word brings light. It says the entrance of His word gives light. What does it mean? I have to hear it. I have to get it in me. I'm not going to change until I hear and it becomes light and revelation to me. I can't come to God on your revelation. I have to hear it for myself. Amen. It doesn't say, and she heard everybody else talking about how good Jesus was and went on their suggestion. No, she heard herself. Jesus is the healer. Jesus is the deliverer. Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the prophet of God. Jesus. And that all of a sudden, she began to hear that, and it got down inside of her. And instead of despair and hopelessness and giving in to all the other stuff she was hearing, she chose to go on what she heard from God. Now, let me show something about really hearing. How do I know if I'm hearing from God? Because whatever you are hearing or listening to is what is driving your life. Up to this point, her sickness is driving her life. For the last 12 years, her sickness has dominated her thought process, her consciousness, her actions, how she felt, where she went, and what she spent her money on. It had her a whole attention. Sickness is dictating to her life. Now, we're just talking about sickness because that was her problem. But I'm going to tell you what, whether it's sickness or whether it's some addiction or whether it's a hurt or whether it's a mistake or whether it's something else, no matter what the devil's throwing at you, put whatever it is, take sickness out and put your situation in and ask yourself, am I constantly hearing the problem talk to me? Am I constantly letting it determine how I live, my attitude, my actions, my how I treat people, what I say, what I do? And she went from her problem dictating to her life, to God's word dictating to her life. Come on, I'm going to show it to you. Because the second thing she does, once she hears it, in verse 28, she said it. Hallelujah. Somebody says, how do I know if I've heard? You'll start talking it. If you're not talking victory, you haven't heard the word yet. For she said, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be made whole. Hallelujah. I mean, this woman went from talking death to talking life. She went from talking defeat to talking victory. She went from talking bondage to talking, I'm going to get healed and blessed. Hallelujah. See, true faith is built upon words, and it comes from God's word, and it changes the way you think. And the first way you know that you've got faith is you change your conversation. You change your speech. Hallelujah. You quit talking about your problem all the time. You quit telling everybody how bad it is. You quit going around trying to get somebody to help you with it. This woman stopped asking doctors to help her. She didn't ask her friends to help her. She didn't ask her enemies to help her. She didn't ask Jesus to change his route and come her way. And now, instead of her problem determining what her attitude, actions, and words are, now her faith is determining her actions and words. She's speaking out. I've got this. Hallelujah. The first thing, folks, listen, all faith begins with confession. Before you even understand it, you got to say it. Before you have it, you got to say it. Before it looks like anything's any different, you got to say it. You got to say, I'm going to go down and get healed, when all your friends say, she is off her rocker now. That poor woman has finally bled out. She's delusional. She thinks she's going to go down halfway, and get through that crowd, and she's going to get healed. My God, poor thing. Won't be long now. You cannot let other people determine what you say and what you believe when you're trying to come out of a problem. Amen? You got to lock in on Jesus, let the word enter into your life and bring light to you. And when you get that light, I want to tell you, you got to hang on to that light with everything in you. Because it's that light that's going to bring you out of your darkness. And the first thing you got to do is you got to put it in your mouth. You may not, your head may fight you. You may feel like you're being crazy for saying it. And people may look at you like you're odd. But I want to tell you what, this woman began to say. She began to speak her faith. Why? Because the word has changed her vision for her life. And folks, I'm going to tell you what, there's no use coming to God unless you have a vision for change. Because he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a reward of them that diligently seek. In other words, the reason I'm coming to God is because I'm believing him to change this. Amen? Huh? Her faith is now changing her perspective and changing what she's pursuing. Oh, she's still trying to get healed, but she's not letting sickness determine how she's going to get it. She's letting the word determine how she's going to get it. So you got to put that word in your mouth, praise God. In fact, you can hold your place there and look over here in Matthew's Gospel, the 12th chapter. Matthew chapter 12, just a couple pages back. And listen to what the Lord says here in verses 33 through 35 and then verse 37. It says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for the tree is known by its fruit. Notice here, you and I have some responsibility what kind of fruit and what kind of tree we're producing. He's talking about your life. He says you have responsibility as to what you're going to do with your life. You can walk in darkness. You can let problems determine your life. And you can let the devil finally just kill you with the thing and never let you accomplish anything. Or you can change that and turn it around and begin to produce good fruit and become a different tree. Amen? He says this, O brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak? Uh-oh, there he's going to get into talking. I thought that was only some of you, Hagenite, Huffmanites, faith teachers. No, this is a Jesusite. Hallelujah. Amen. Look what the Lord's going to do. He's going to get into talking. Just as soon as he gets into you changing your life, he's going to get into talking. Because you can't change your life without changing your speech. Come on, you can't change your life until you change how you talk. You keep talking doubt and defeat, and you're going to stay defeated. You can't change from being a sinner to Christian without confession. Because Romans 10:9 says that if you shall confess Jesus as Lord. Amen. And that's before you do anything else. You've got to say, Jesus is Lord. And I believe that he died for my sins. God raised him from the dead. And I confess him as my Lord with my heart. I believe unto righteousness. Now with my mouth, I confess unto salvation. Hallelujah. In other words, I changed my whole life by my confession. Now Jesus says, okay, your tree can be bad or your tree can be good. And he says, out of the abundance of the heart, your mouth's going to speak. In In other words, what you're letting get down in you is going to come back out of you. And look what he says. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart is going to bring forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure is going to bring forth evil things. Somebody says, oh, that's evil. I bet he cusses and carries on. You know, but you go over in Numbers and you find out that when the 10 spies came back, you know, there were 12 sent. Two of them came back with a good report. 10 of them came back with an evil report. You know what that evil report was? A report of doubt and unbelief. So the Lord says this, an evil man full of doubt and unbelief is going to bring forth bad things in his life. In other words, if you're full of the problem, that's what you're going to produce in your life. But if you get full of God's word, you're going to produce that in your life. Hallelujah. Then look what he says in verse 37. For by your friend's words. No. No, that's not what it says at all. It says, for by your pastor's words, you will... No, doesn't say that either, does it? For by your words. It's what you're saying that counts. It's what's coming out of your mouth. That's what counts. For by your words, you will be justified, and by your words, you will be condemned. In other words, I don't care what you say about me. Just like that woman here in Mark chapter 5. She didn't care what anybody said about her. She'd been given a death sentence anyway. What's she got to lose? Amen? I mean, I might as well go hog wild and pig crazy on this and talk my faith. Hallelujah. And bless God and believe God. And then act like it, praise God. Get out here, glory to God, I heard it, now I'm saying it, and I'm going to produce it. I'm changing my tree, hallelujah. I'm going to start producing good fruit from this point on. So she begins to speak her faith. Now her faith is directing her life, not her problem, amen? Why? Because if her problem's still directing her, she would go home and die, because that's what it was said to her to do, amen? But now, instead of her problem determining her life, she is now using the word and her faith to determine what she's saying and doing. Because the next step she does is found out, again, up here in verse 27, and it says she did it. In other words, she heard it, she said it, and then verse 27, she did. For when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. She didn't just talk a good game, she acted and lived a good game. Amen? You got to do something about what you believe, folks. You just can't sit around and say, well, I'm believing God. I'm believing God. I'm believing God. Like you don't have a job. I'm believing God for a job. I'm believing God to pay my bills. Yeah, and they'll sit you out on the corner of your lot and sit you, and take your furniture, and you can wave goodbye to it. And they'll turn your electric off, and then finally they'll come and bolt your door, and you're sitting out there saying, I don't understand why it didn't happen. I was confessing all my needs met. It's because you didn't act upon what you was confessing. This woman could have gone back to her house and said, the doctor said I wasn't going to get healed and I was going to die. My body tells me I'm getting worse. My friends look at me and tell me I'm bad. But I believe that if I go down to that place and touch his clothes, I can be healed. So I'm confessing my healing. Well, what are you going? I'm going home because I don't feel like going. I'm just tired today. But I'm confessing it. Hallelujah. No, she didn't just confess it. She put actions with her confession. She started acting on what she was saying. She got up and forced herself. Folks, I want to tell you something. Faith is not feelings. There are times you don't feel like doing what God told you. You don't feel like acting on the word. Anybody besides me been there? Huh? My goodness, folks, there are times, I used to hear Brother Hagin say it, and over the years, I haven't said a whole lot, but I sure can't associate with it. He said, people saying, no, I just don't feel good today. He said, well, my God, if I was going on feelings, I wouldn't have showed up either. He said, in fact, if I was going on feelings, I'd have everybody reach their hands out and pray for me because I'd feel like I'm backslid right now. No anointing. And everybody go, you? Yeah, you, me, hallelujah. We all have feelings. How many of you know this woman didn't feel like getting up and going down to where Jesus was? No, she didn't put Jesus in a place where, if he really wants to heal me, he'll come by my house. See, faith cometh to God. Faith doesn't say, God, come to me. Hebrews 11:6, remember our text? For he that comes to God, Faith comes to God. This woman, if she's going to have faith, she's going to bring her faith to God. You got to get to where God is if you're going to get anything from him. Amen? And so she's got to get to where the Lord's at. She's got to get her faith there. So you know what she's got to do? She's got to put some actions to her faith. Look over here in James chapter 2 real quick. Hold your place there in Mark 11. And look what James says. James kind of jumps in the mix here with us. And he says here in chapter 2 of James, drop down here to verse 19. Listen to what he says. He says, you believe that there is one God? You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble at his name. My. He says, I believe in God. Big deal. You're not any higher up than the demons are yet. Amen. See, what you've got to get a hold of here, folks, is this. Believing is not faith. Oh, I got your attention there, didn't I? No. Believing is not faith. Believing is a foundation for faith, but believing is not faith. James just said, you believe in God, demons believe. So if believing was faith, it'd be a change taking place. What's faith? Verse 20. But do you want to know, oh foolish man, that faith without works is dead? You know what faith is? Faith is the works that correspond to what you believe. Faith is an outward expression or a work, or it is a corresponding action to what you believe. Faith is the outward action of what you believe in your heart. Now, let's tie it in with this woman. What do you mean? Faith is the action. She heard, and that gave that and the word entered into her heart, and she was enlightened that Jesus is the healer. And she accepted that and began to say, I'm going to go where Jesus is. In other words, I'm going to take my faith to Jesus, and I'm going to believe I receive a healing in my body. I'm going to get victory out of this. I'm going to turn my hopeless situation into a blessing, praise God. But she didn't stop there. What did she do? She packed her lunch and, bless God, took off. She's acting now on her faith. Her faith would have died unborn if it was just a confession. But when she began to put action to her faith, then all of a sudden she puts God in a position where he can actually do something for her. You can't say I'm delivered and hang out with people that are in bondage and stay in bondage. You can't say I've got victory and hang out with losers. You cannot say I'm going to serve God and go out here and let your flesh dominate you and live in sin. That's not faith. You haven't. Your faith is no higher than the demon's faith. Because you believe in God, the devil believes in God. But you're not going to have any change in your life because faith comes to God. And let me tell you something, folks. Faith is a determined thing. Faith is you acting when nobody else will act with you. Faith is you holding fast your confession when everybody else tells you to shut up. Faith is you finding a way to get to God when it looks impossible to get to God. Are you listening to me? I'm going to trust God. I don't care. This woman had all kinds of opportunities to be discouraged and quit. First of all, she's weakened down, just about to die, and the doctors have given up on her, so she's in last stages of her illness. So she's weak. Second of all, Jesus is off in another part of the town, in the country, whatever. She's got to go to where he is. Then when she gets there, there's a massive crowd walking with Jesus. He's going up to the Jairus' house. He's going to that man's house. And here's a whole big crowd. And you know what they're all doing? They're grabbing him and pulling and touching him and hoping that something will happen. And this woman, she comes in and she's already weak. She's already tired. She's already sick. She's already fighting off doubt. She's already fighting off every lie and every attack the devil can throw at her. And so then she comes up against a crowd. She goes, my God, how am I going to get there? And then the second thing comes up is this. She's got a blood issue. She is as unclean in their religion as a leper. She's not supposed to be out in a crowd. They could take her and stone her. How many of you know some fear could get in there and religion could be talking to her saying, don't you get in that mess. Custom says she's a single woman. She can't get out here and act like this. So she's fighting crowds, she's fighting religion, she's fighting custom, she's fighting her weakness, she's fighting her symptoms, she's fighting, and you got to remember, folks, she is believing, she's saying, and she's doing, and she's as sick as she was before she started. Nothing has changed. She still looks hopeless, feels hopeless, and the enemy's taunting her, telling her it ain't going to happen. Notice she's saying all of this, and she hadn't seen any change in anything. In fact, from the time she started saying it, it got worse. All she's had is one obstacle after another thrown in her face from a time she heard that God would take care of it. Anybody besides me ever been there? You finally get a revelation that God wants to get you out of your problem, and it gets worse before it gets better. Anybody? And you start confessing it, and it gets even worse. And you show up at church, and the person that caused it shows up and sits beside you. Just kidding. Hallelujah. And here you are going, oh, God. Or, you know, you decide you're going to break away. And here comes every person. I can remember, you know, whenever I gave my heart to the Lord, I made a commitment to God. I'm not going to drink anymore. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. And the next weekend, I had 50 people invite me to parties so I could drink free. And they never let me come. You always had to put some money out to get any booze. Oh, come on. We'll take care of you. Come on. We've got it. Come on. Come on, folks. You know what I'm talking about. None of us live in a crystal house. We live in a world. This woman's living in a world that's bad, with a bad devil that's attacked her. And he's not finished attacking her. He's holding on as hard as he can to keep her from having what God said she could have. But faith comes to God believing he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Not those who just seek him, but those who diligently seek him. Do you see any diligence in this woman? Do you see any determination in this woman? Just how determined are you in this moment to see a change take place in your life? Just how determined and diligent will you be to see it through to the end? Because you see, it is not how you start, it's how you finish. Because Hebrews 11:6 doesn't just say, but without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is. Hallelujah. No, he says, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. In other words, faith's ultimate is to get the victory. That's why you started. Amen. I don't know about you, but the reason I have been able to withstand temptations to be worldly and go back out in the world and get away from God and everything is because I got a revelation of who Jesus is. And I got a revelation of heaven. I got a revelation of eternity. I got a revelation of the Word of God. I got a revelation of life in Christ. And it's so much better. I had a friend of mine come to me right after I'd started pastoring. I was up in Bell, West Virginia, in a little church up there, and we started pastoring. We went to high school together. And he was working, and he came by to repair something, and he was a technician. And so we were talking, and he says, "You a preacher?" I said, "Yeah." He goes, "Well, you know, I went to church some," but he says, "you know, I found so many hypocrites in church, I just decided I wasn't going to do it, and I went back out in the bars." I said, "Isn't that amazing? That's just exactly opposite of me." He goes, "What are you talking about?" I said, "Well, I was out in the bars, found so many hypocrites out in the bars, I just figured I'd go to church." Hallelujah. And then I got to figuring this, you know, if you're going to have to hang out with hypocrites, you got hypocrites in the bars, you got hypocrites in the church, at least get with the ones going to heaven. Hallelujah. Because you see, I'm not going to let anybody talk me out of my walk with Jesus. I'm not going to let anybody put me down or act like, you know, there's something wrong with me because I've committed my life to Christ. I'm going to live in the light of the word that entered because I heard. And I believe. And I'm going to say it. I'm going to do it, praise God. I'm going to do it whether it's fun. I'm going to do it whether it's easy. I'm going to do it whether it's hard. I'm going to do it whether anybody else does it or not. Because I'm going to get my Hebrews 11:6 faith to the reward. And that's what this woman's doing. She's getting her faith to the reward. And the reward is a healed body for her. I don't know what your reward is that you're needing right now, but it's there. And your reward is not in the crowd. Your reward is not in the reports that you've heard. Your reward isn't just even in your confession. Your reward is in your Lord. Because the reward comes from God. And so if I'm going to get the reward, guess what? I got to get into God. Amen? So what does this woman do? She goes in and touches. She acts upon it, and she does this thing. And then the fourth thing that she does is in verse 29, and she received. Hallelujah. Look at this. Immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, now listen to this. How did she get healed? And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" Hallelujah. She received. Her faith reached out and received the reward. You know what she did? She placed so much faith on the Lord that when she touched him with her faith, the power of God flowed out of him into her and set her free from that problem. Hallelujah. And folks, I'm going to tell you what. If her faith could touch God and receive his power flowing from him to her. Her faith activated the power flowing from God to her. If her faith could get that power to flow from God to her, your faith can get that power to flow from God to you. Hallelujah. But you got to do what she did. Number one, you've got to really hear the word of God. It's got to become your revelation. It's got to enter into your heart and become light and revelation to you, praise God. And then you've got to say it. Well, I feel silly saying it. I don't care what you feel. Say it anyway. Well, I sound crazy. You think you sound crazy saying it, you should hear yourself not saying it. Hey. Well, I've been saying it 10 times now, and I ain't seen nothing yet. Then say it 10,000 more times. Because Jesus said in Mark 11, 23, that you'll have what you're saying. That word say over there, the last say or saith, whatever translation you're using, if you study it out, it's a continuous action verb. Meaning what? That whosoever shall say unto this mountain and keep saying to this mountain and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he is saying shall come to pass, he shall have what he is continually saying. Hallelujah. I'm going to say it, I'm going to say it, I'm going to say it, I'm going to say it. And the devil says, it ain't happening. I'm going to say it louder, hallelujah. And then when it feels my body saying, it ain't getting better, I'm going to say it even more. And whenever the problem keeps jumping up and looking me in the face, I'm going to speak the word right in his eyes and say it anyway. And then I'm going to get after what God is telling me to do. I'm going to act upon what I'm saying. What's that mean? I'm not going to lay home and feel sorry for myself. If the only thing I can do is lift my hands and praise God, I'm going to lift my hands and praise God. If I have to call somebody to get them to get me to the church so I can hear the word of God, I'm going to ask somebody to get me to the church. Why? I'm not going to lay here and let my problem determine my life. The word is now directing me, and I'm going to say it, and I'm going to act upon it. And then what's the next thing? I'm going to receive it, praise God. See, Mark 11, 24 says, whatever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. You know what you got to do? You got to come to God and believe you receive in your heart. There's got to come a place in your life where you say, I receive it. You quit asking for it. And you start saying, I have it, I receive it. I can't see it, I can't feel it, but I believe I receive it, praise God. When you get to the place where you receive it in your heart, you'll receive it in your life. This woman received it in her heart and reached out and touched Jesus, and the power of God flowed from him through her faith into her body, and she received her deliverance. She received it. What do you do once you receive it? Well, in Philippians 4, 6, you know what the Bible says over there? It says, be not anxious for anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Let your requests, now listen, with supplication, as for us, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. With thanksgiving. You know what he's talking about? Once you believe you're received, you know what you do? You just keep confessing, Lord, I thank you that I believe I received. Ooh, hallelujah, it's so good to be healed. And the devil said, well, you don't look healed. I don't go by what I look. I go by what I believe. Hallelujah. And I thank you, Lord, that I'm healed from this. I'm delivered. In fact, I'm going to act healed. I'm going to act delivered. Praise God. You know what this woman did? She goes, oh, my God, it worked. And she kind of snuck away. But you know what? Jesus knew exactly who had used their faith. Because he turned in the crowd to see her who had done this thing. And the woman, fearing and trembling, meaning what? Ah, God in heaven, I just got done what you said you'd do. And I have my, And Jesus looked at her. He wasn't mad. He was so thrilled that somebody used their faith. He said, daughter, rejoice and be glad. That's what it means, be good cheer, isn't it? Just begin to thank God. Your faith has made you whole. Hallelujah. What's the fifth thing? Tell it. She told him the whole thing. I mean, she just stood up and told the whole testimony. Hallelujah. You know why you should tell people what God's done in your life? Because that testimony brings victory in your life. You know what Revelation 12:11 says? And they overcame him, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives to death. You know what that's, you're saying? We overcome by the blood of the Lamb. In other words, acting on the word and by the testimony of our mouth. You know what happens when you testify of what God's done for you? It strengthens your faith. It encourages other people to believe that God will do it for them, and it brings glory to the Lord. Three things your testimony does. It strengthens your faith because you're testifying of what God has done in your life. It encourages others because if He did it for you, He'll do it for them. And then it brings glory to the Lord. And it helps you to stay an overcomer. See, folks, I think we miss it sometimes by not doing the fifth thing. When you get a prayer answered, when you get a confession come to pass, when you get a breakthrough in your life, you should tell your friends. And you know why we don't tell our friends sometimes? It's because the enemy comes back immediately to counterattack us with fear that maybe it ain't going to last. And if we go out and tell somebody about it, and then we fall back away from it, then we look foolish. But you know what you do? They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. In other words, if I stand on my covenant with God and keep speaking the word, I'll overcome every counterattack the devil throws at me. Amen? If you've been delivered, tell people you're delivered. Don't be afraid of falling back into something. Tell them you're delivered. If you've been healed, tell people you've been healed. Talk about the glory of God and the healing power of Jesus Christ. Tell them, hallelujah. If you've gotten a breakthrough and God met your financial need, go tell somebody that you've sowed your seed, believe God, and confess your faith, because the Word says that if I give, it'll be given back to me, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And God met my need. And hallelujah, it's not the first time, not the last time, He's going to do it again. Hallelujah. Why? Because your testimony is you telling what God's done, but it's also you setting your sights forward to God doing something else for you. How many of you know if He did it once, you can get something else from Him? Amen? I don't know about you, but I've used these principles that I've taught you to get many, many things from the Lord. He's got me through many battles, got me through many things, and brought me out. Why? Because these five steps will work for anything that you need from God. Amen. You need to get saved? Okay. We're born again, 1 Peter 1 says, by hearing by the word of God. How do you get it? Well, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And when you hear the word of God, what's the first thing you do? You say it. You confess Jesus as your Lord. Amen. Then what's the third thing you do? You receive Jesus as your Lord. Amen. Huh? Then what's the last thing you do with it? You tell people Jesus is your Lord. Hallelujah. You take these principles and apply it every life. How do you get filled with the Holy Ghost? Well, you hear the Word of God, that God sent the Holy Ghost to get you filled, and faith comes to receive the Holy Ghost, and you get before God and say, Lord, I believe I received the Holy Ghost. You start talking in tongues, hallelujah, because you said it and did it, and you received it. Amen? And then you know what you do? You tell everybody, ooh, glory to God, I got filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, I am changed, I'm a crazy person for Jesus now, hallelujah. Every area of your life you can overcome. You can go from hopelessness to blessing by coming to God in faith, believing He is, but most of all, believing that He is the rewarder of them that diligently, in other words, you got to be diligent, just like His woman. You got to fight through whatever it is trying to hold you back and get to God. Because when you get to God, that's where the power's at. And it's the power of God that's going to change your life. Amen?